The Big Red Bench.
Game on.
Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
The Joanna Reardon Podcast. A Big Red Bench production for Cork's Red FM.
Hello and welcome back to the Joanna Reardon Podcast with me, Joanna Reardon, on Cork's Red FM. This week we have Cricket Ireland captain of the women's team, Laura Delaney, and we have their head coach, Ed Joyce. We're there talking to us about Cricket Ireland, what it's like to be on the women's team, and their individual careers as players. So Laura Delaney, Ed Joyce from Cricket Ireland, how's it going? So Laura, you're captain.
Yeah.
Ed, you're the new manager. How's it going so far?
So far so good. Well, I suppose, unfortunately, we actually didn't qualify for the World Cup in 2020 in February or March, but we had a tough summer. I suppose we have a long winter period now ahead of our next qualifiers in July, which is the slightly longer format. So it's a 50 over format, which I actually think might suit the style of our team slightly better. A lot of the girls are away playing in Australia. There's a few of us still here based in Dublin. We're out training with Ed 2-3 times a week. So it's still busy enough, even though we don't have a lot of games coming up in the near future.
I was reading on your team, a lot of them are quite young, like, and kind of spread across kind of a wide plethora. Like, as a manager, is it difficult to get everyone in together, or are you just happy with the core that you have?
Well, I'm enjoying this manager tag. I'm actually the coach. There is a different manager, but
coach manager,
yeah,
hey.
Coach manager, yeah. Footballs, but I guess from so just carry on from what Laura said there, you know, so I sort of took over in an interim basis midsummer last year when Aaron left. And, you know, it is a very young squad, as you said. And we had probably four or five of the girls retired after the last World Cup that they played in. And that's a big, you know, it's a big gap to fill, you know. So four or five more experienced players and possibly probably the better players as well, you know, apart from Laura sitting here, you know. But that experience very hard to replace. And it's a very young squad, but very talented squad. But, you know, the game awareness stuff isn't there, because you're talking about sort of 16, 17, 18, 19 year olds who haven't played a lot of games. So considering that, I thought we actually did pretty well at the qualifiers that we played. We came third, you know, the top two went through to the World Cup and we came third. And the two games that we lost were very, very close, you know. So and there was a lot of fight shown by the team. And, you know, from my point of view, the biggest thing that I would look for in being a new coach, having only just finished playing myself, will be, you know, work ethic, enthusiasm and the talent, and all those three things are there. So you know, it's an exciting group to be around.
When you first came on board, like, were you expecting to be thrown into, like, obviously you knew the season, how it was going to take place, but you were kind of thrown into a World Cup qualifying. Were you, like, as a player, you're probably really competitive, so you're like, right, let's go.
Yeah, I was doing some batting coaching before that around all the squads, sort of a bit with the girls and a bit with the sort of underage boys teams, and then with the Wolves, which is the Ireland A team. So, you know, sort of all around the place. And then, you know, as I said, Aaron left, and I was asked to do the interim job and jumped at it. You know, my sister's played for a long time for the women's team, and, you know, I would know a lot of the team from that, and having watched them play, you know, and how passionate they were about it, and also it's a great opportunity, really, you know, a head coaching role with an international team. You know, it's a great way to cut your teeth there. So it was a no-brainer from my point of view, and obviously great to get to, even though we didn't qualify, still got offered the job. So really happy with that.
I was gonna say, and Laura, like, you had Ed on, you know, you'd taken the captaincy from Isabel, and different things like that. Like, were you going into this tournament, were you dying to qualify, or did you know, like, what were your expectations when you kind of first went in as a team?
Yeah, I think, look, when you go into any qualifying tournament, your objective is to qualify for the World Cup. We had a series against Thailand, Scotland and Holland a couple of weeks before, and Thailand proved to be more challenging than what I suppose we had expected. But going into the qualifiers, I was still pretty confident that we would get over the line. However, it was a really tough game, as was the Bangladesh game, and we were unfortunate not to get over the line in the end.
And Ed, like, you know, you were obviously kind of part of that as well. Did you know what the girls were, like, expecting? Did you know where you could take them? Were you, even though it was probably your first kind of few months, were you disappointed for them?
Oh, very disappointed, but, you know, those qualifying tournaments, played a lot of them on the men's side, and they're really tricky tournaments because every game means so much, you know. So a lot of the top teams don't have to qualify for the World Cups, but we do, you know, and we always have. And I knew what to expect, and I know Laura did as well, having gone through them. But a lot of the younger girls possibly didn't, you know. So I think that's a big learning curve. You know, the experience really does come into it in those qualifying tournaments because you know what to do. You know, you've been through them, and as I said, losing people like Claire Shinton and Isabel and Cecilia and Kira, you know, all at the same time was a big loss. And also Lucy O'Reilly is one of the younger players. She's only 18, 19, she might be 19 now, but you know, she's played since she's the age of 13, and she's, you know, obviously one of the better players we have, but also she's experienced for we lost that as well. So, you know, considering all that, you know, we as I said, I thought we actually played some really good cricket. We possibly just didn't bat well enough. But I know how disappointed the girls are, and you know, Laura's one of the most competitive people I've ever met. You know, she even silly little games you play in the indoor school around practice and stuff like that. She's the easiest person to wind up in the world. So I know she was absolutely gutted about the whole thing. So, you know, she took it very personally. But it's a great attribute for a captain to have. You know, and she's a very good leader for a very young team as well. So you know, that'll stand in good stead.
This was your kind of like first, I suppose, captaincy in a big kind of tournament, like a big event. Like, were you nervous kind of going into it? Was a different thing for you? But like, you've been playing since what, 2010?
Yeah, since 2010. Well, I suppose the World Cup would have been the biggest tournament that I've captained in, but I was really fortunate that I had a lot of players alongside me, like Isabel, who had captained, Claire Shillington had captained before, Kira Metcalf had also captained. So I suppose when you're out playing in a big tournament, you have a lot of players to lean on, whereas this was probably the first tournament that it was myself, Kim and Ed, and look, Kim has a lot of experience, as does Mary Waldron, so there's people that I can definitely draw upon. But yeah, it is nerve-wracking going into a qualifying tournament. As Ed said, they're really tricky games and you have to win every one. And I suppose looking at Thailand, who are our biggest opponents in that competition, they'd played 18 games in the last 12 months, and the age category of their team is a lot older than what we have. But equally, you know, that's a good thing for us to have such a young team coming through for the next 12 months.
Tell me a little bit about like your cricket story and like kind of how you got into cricket, like, and things like that. Obviously, I'm from Cork, so cricket's not really existent, you know, like I'm even from Minstrel, like it's even worse. My first ever, you know, cricket thing was I was in Malahide at a friend of a company that I was doing kind of work for. He was just playing. I was like, oh, I'll watch him for a little bit. But like, how do you get into cricket? Like, you know, were you into it from such a young age?
Yeah, I think quite similar to a lot of other families. I suppose your parents are involved and then you're just always down in the club. My brother played, and I think it was just natural that I took the game up. I played boys under 11s and under 13s, and then I filtered through to the girls. And I suppose I'm still playing with some of the girls that I played under 15s and under 17s with. So yeah, I've stuck through it the whole way through, and fortunately to be in the position that I am now today.
Well, it's kind of cool, like you made your debut when you were in fifth year. Like, did you know how good you were? Well, like, were you aware that Ireland were potentially, like, the seniors were watching you, or were you just kind of going for it hoping something would happen?
Well, I was lucky that I think there a few players stepped away, and there was a gap for myself and Kim Garth to make her debut on the same day. Now, look, I think I was really fortunate to be given the opportunity that I was on that day and throughout my career. So, yeah, I'm very grateful to Cricket Ireland for that.
Obviously, like, you know, probably getting your captaincy and being at the World Cup is like your highlight, your kind of big highlight. Do you have any personal highlights that you've achieved like so far? Or are you like, look, I just want to focus on the next step?
I think the biggest highlight for me would be qualifying for the World Cup back in 2014. It was such a tight game. We literally won it in the last over, but it meant so much to that group of players. We've been playing together for a few years, and we hadn't qualified for the World Cup at that stage, so that was our first time.
Take us through that game, like, you know, what went down, you know, like, what was for non-cricket
gosh
fans?
we batted first. I think Izzy got 60 odd. I can't really remember who else contributed with the bat, but I remember in the fielding innings I actually hadn't bowled terribly well. And then Izzy and Chills were like, you're going to take the last over, and I remember just being pretty terrified, but they needed 12 off the last over, so it wasn't too much. But yeah, thankfully we got over the line in the end. So
and then even going to the World Cup, like, were you were you excited? Like, you know, it was, you know, you'd a good mix of kind of youth and experience. Like, was it nice to feed off the older girls and then get excited with the younger girls? Was there like a good vibe, I suppose, going into the tournament?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when people say playing with your team members is like a family, we were training day in, day out. We had training camps a couple of weeks prior to the tournament. And I suppose when we got over there, we actually felt quite ready. So that was the Bangladesh World Cup. And yeah, we've been to two more since then. So hopefully we'll qualify for another one next year.
I remember like being like really excited, like, you know, like cricket isn't big in our house. Like we just watch it kind of if it's on, you know, at the weekends, different things like that. I remember like just seeing Ireland women like being advertised on Sky and I was like, huh, that's bizarre. Gotta tune in for that one. But it was big, like, you know, I mean, for, you know, obviously cricket fans would know ye kind of so well, but even for non-cricket fans, it was nice to have a team, you know. Ireland loves a good bandwagon. Like, were you feeling a lot of support?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the game has grown so much over the last 12 to 24 months. And I suppose it's the same with the Irish women's hockey team. Success brings more exposure and a bigger audience. So yeah, hopefully it continues to go that way.
Do you look towards like the hockey, like, because you'd probably be a similar enough kind of playing kind of group, like minority, like, do you look towards them and you're like, oh, listen, we could totally achieve if we just come together? Or like, you probably know your own talent as well.
Yeah, we do. But I think hats off to the girls. They've worked incredibly hard, not just over the last few years, but I think this has been years in the making. Lena Tice, who actually used to play for the Irish women's cricket team, now plays for the Irish women's hockey team. And look, they're training day in, day out. They're putting in the hard yards. So yeah, we're wishing them all the best for next year.
You were granted your kind of semi-pro contract and you were one of the ones who got it. Like, you know, I was reading like bits that you'd kind of been interviewed before and you were saying it is really hard to graduate, find a job because you're asking for a lot of time off to play cricket. Has it, like, kind of, supposed to talk to me like the difference? So like when you first graduated with your degree, what was it like kind of playing cricket and seeking employment and like trying to get your life kind of started?
Yeah, it's been pretty challenging, and it definitely was for the senior players on the team as well. I suppose last year and the year before, you're looking at 8 to 10 weeks off work, which is pretty challenging when you're trying to hold down a full-time job. So I suppose for a lot of us, there's six of us on semi professional contracts at the moment, which obviously allows us to balance working whilst also focusing and improving our cricket. So yeah, trying to find a job is quite tricky at times, but at the moment I suppose for a few of us, we're just putting our self focus onto cricket, and whatever job we can work alongside it, we're taking it.
Like as a coach, Ed, like, is that difficult, like trying to get girls together knowing they need time off? Like, are you trying to schedule things in such a way that they don't need to take a big bulk of time off? Or
yeah, it's definitely one of the challenges. It's made a difference having the six girls on the semi-professional contracts. You do have more access to days where you can train, and also it makes a difference to the games. I think one of the big problems we have is trying to get fixtures in general, you know. And then, you know, when you do schedule them, how do you do that to make sure that enough of the girls who have full-time jobs or in, you know, in education, or some of the girls are still in school, you know, how do you get them all together? So, you know, for instance, at the moment we train Friday nights and Sunday afternoons. That's where you sort of try and get the whole squad together, those girls who aren't away. And then Laura and Sean are the only two semi-contracted girls who are here. So they're in on Mondays and Tuesdays as well as those other 2 days. So they're getting 3 or 4 days a week, which is great, you know. So that's a really good bulk of work you can get done. But then if you, for instance, we're looking to try and go to Thailand in April this year, hopefully that happens, but that's probably two and a half week trip, you know. So yeah, someone's got a full time job there, you know, or is doing their leaving cert or something like that. How do they balance that? And how, you know, that's a really tricky thing, and you're trying to make sure that you haven't got too many trips like that, albeit you need to have the games as well. So, you know, we've got 50 over qualifiers, as Laura already said, in Sri Lanka in July, you know, so there'll be a lead in sort of training period for that, and then 2.5 weeks there. So that's another, you know, so just in those two trips, there's 6 weeks. So if you were an employer and you're asking for an employer for a long period off, that's pretty much all your holidays, unless you've got an employer who really wants them and really backs them to play the sport, which we do, or we're lucky enough, we have one or two of those. So you're right, that's one of the big challenges we have, is to get enough games.
Is that a weird challenge for you, because you were pro for so long?
Well, it's a completely different challenge for me for two reasons. One, I've only just come into this side of things, and you think about coaching is actually the day-to-day on the ground, sort of how do you, you know, teach, I guess. And then the second bit is organising, and that's the bit that's new to me, you know. So, you know, training schedules and playing schedules and who can get where and when and all those kind of things. So that's, it is very tricky, but it's enjoyable as well, you know. But I'm getting the odd message going, what are we doing next year? I need to know. I need to tell people. And that's no, but that's absolutely fair enough. And I'd love to know myself a lot of the time, you know. So, you know, so I'm constantly badgering people above me to try and make sure that we can do those things. But again, for them, it's tough as well, because a lot of the problem in we have is that we're not, we don't have a schedule for the next 3, 4, 5 years. We're sort of going year to year, okay, you know, sort of, and teams that were ranked around us, even though the organization is now this full member of the ICC, you know, it's really helped the men, because they're now on this future tours program, but the women haven't quite got there yet. So one of the big things about the 50 over qualifiers in July is if we do come in the top, I think it's the top five, we get into the 50 over league, which would give us a set number of fixtures for the next 3 years, something we can actually plan around and will be in the diary, and that'd be great for the girls.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this like a women's cricket problem? Like, I mean, when you were playing, obviously, as you said, you were like 3 to 4 years, but is that frustrating for you that you can't like kind of take tomorrow's training as tomorrow's training? You have to take tomorrow's training as what's going to happen in April. Is that frustrating for you?
Yeah, I suppose at times there's, you know, if you had a trip to look forward, not look forward to, but build towards, it's slightly different. I think the last couple of years we have been quite busy, only because we've qualified for the World Cup. So I think it would be very different had we qualified for the World Cup, which is March or February, March. I think there would have been more of a lead and a build up to it.
Yeah.
But obviously at the moment, yeah, our next fixtures aren't until April. So yeah, it's...
And when you're like organizing fixtures, like, I mean, I don't know, if, like, obviously you're not the ones in charge of organizing, but like, say, is it weird to go to like, say, a top country, maybe like in England or Bangladesh or somewhere like that, and you're like, well, sorry, I can only play in July. And they're like, well, if you want to play us, like, you know.
Yeah, you're right. So they all have those top countries like England, I mean, the top women's countries would be England, India, Australia, New Zealand, you know, that they would all have, you know, schedules in place, and you're trying to fit in around them. And a lot of the time it would have been when those countries maybe touring England, they would come to Ireland as well for a tour as well. But you know, women's cricket's taken off so much that those countries all have domestic competitions they play now, as well as really packed international calendars, and it's very, very difficult to get extra fixtures. I think, you know, the appetite's there from their point of view to play against Ireland and to play against us and to get us to tour there as well, but it's just trying to fit it in is the real problem. So you know, so we're trying to play as much as we can with the teams who are around us, like your Netherlands and Scotland's, and you know, Thailand have really come through now and are very, very open to us touring there, albeit it's a long way away and it's costly, you know. So you've got to actually sort of get those things in place as well. And you mentioned Bangladesh as well, who, you know, we nearly beat at the qualifiers and qualified for the World Cup, but they're another country we'd love to play more and have more fixtures. But again, it's very it's tough from their end as well, because they find it very difficult to deal with their board around the women's game as well. So it is a challenge, you know. It's not insurmountable, you know. It just takes a bit of time, and it's a bit more last minute than I think I certainly want, and Cricket Ireland want, and certainly what the girls need in terms of what they need to tell employers and schools and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I was going to say, even Laura, like, is there a fresh kind of freshness to women's cricket in Ireland, like, because, you know, with everything kind of going on with kind of, you know, promoting women in sport and things like that, like, do you feel that there's like a movement kind of to make your sport a bit better, like, you know? Or
yeah, and I think that happens at the grassroots level. I was coaching in Leinster this year, and I think there's more girls playing than before, and there's more opposition to play against. So I do think a lot more effort and emphasis has been put in at that level. And yeah, I think we're still slightly struggling at the 14 to 15 age group. That's when a lot of girls drift off.
Yeah.
And even looking at our team now, it's quite young. So holding on to those players is crucial. But yeah, I think more exposure for the women's game is definitely helping it grow.
Yeah, because I was going to say, cricket is kind of one of those sports that, like, it's only kind of on the news when something kind of dramatic happens. Like, yeah, if Owen Morgan does something big, is that kind of frustrating? You're seeing maybe like even hockey or other minority sports kind of coming through. Are you like, hello?
Yeah, well, look, I think the hockey girls have created their own success.
Yeah.
I think they've earned their right to have that. I suppose we haven't played in enough tournaments this year. We only had 12 international fixtures. So it's quite hard to find yourself in the news when you only have 12 international fixtures. So we need more tournaments. And yeah, we need tournaments against better, or matches against better teams as well. So
do you find the standard is growing kind of globally? Like, you know, since you started playing, like, do you find that, you know, England are kind of pulling ahead, the Australians, the New Zealands, like, do you find... You're probably coming ahead as well, but do you find that like the gap is probably widening, even though
I think Australia are streets ahead of a lot of other teams. They put a huge focus into their domestic cricket, which is well Joyce played in for Tasmania, and currently Kim Garth, my vice captain, is playing for
Perth Scorchers
and she's doing incredibly well over there, but that's a tournament that they've put a huge focus into. They've pumped a lot of money into it. It's really well promoted and exposed over there, and I suppose the more competition and the greater pool of players that you have ultimately drives the standards, so hence why they have such a strong international team at the moment.
I do think it's vital. I mean, Kim playing over there in the Big Bash is brilliant for us, you know, and yeah, it's brilliant for her obviously first of all, but and she's doing very, very well as well, but if she continues to do that and you know becomes someone who's known on the international circuit as being a really good player and plays maybe potentially gets a contract in England playing in the 100 competition there, which is a great opportunity as well if she can get that, it does open the door to some of the other girls who here, you know, who could potentially do the same thing. And I think, you know, if we can get two or three of the our, you know, national players playing around the world, it would help us massively as a team to improve, you know, but it would also, you know, I think, you know, open the door again for more of the team to sort of step up as well. So I think, you know, she's blazing a trail there, which is brilliant for the team.
Do they, like, when you find, like, even as a coach and even as a player, do you find they come back with different styles? Like, that they've a whole new, they kind of come in and they're like, right, this is how we did it. And you're like, okay, this is how I'm doing it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's, yeah, you know, any sport, there are trends that happen and things that seem to be working at the particular time. And, you, and the franchise competitions that are now sort of springing up around the place, around the world, you know, it's all about winning, you know, so they tend to come up with these things first. And, you know, I'm sure Kim will come back with some ideas, and this is how we did things, and this is how this coach did things. And, you know, so, you know, I can email obviously her head coach and find out what she's doing, and you know, it's very, very useful. Yeah,
even as practicalities, like, alone, like, if you're trying to get your whole team together, it's probably a bit more difficult if they're in Australia, you know, like.
Yeah, it is. It's a balance, you know, because from my point of view, I guess my speciality be batting. So, you know, I'm trying to work a lot with the batters, and a lot of them are in Australia. But then, you know, playing indoors and doing lots of technical work and stuff like that indoors is all very well. But, you know, it's very difficult to tell someone they can't go to Australia and play loads and loads of games and get great experience out there playing. You know, it's not raining and it's not, you know, 2 degrees over there as well. So, you know, it's this huge value in going away and playing in a different environment for a different club, potentially for a different state in terms of what Kim's doing, and there's huge value in that. So it's a tricky balance, you know. So I think going forward, I didn't really have much say this year either, because the girls had already booked all their stuff by the time I came in as well. So I think unless I felt I could really help someone make a big difference to the game over a winter, I would always encourage someone to go away if they could in the winter and play, especially at the age, you know, where you finish school or you finish college and you actually have a year or two there, you know, great life experience and also great for your cricket. I think if there was something specific, then it would have to be something really specific to ask them to stay behind.
Because you went as well, Laura, didn't you go when you graduated?
Yeah.
Like, what was the differences like for you? What did you notice and what did you bring back with you to the Irish setups?
I think there's no substitute for time in the middle. It obviously gives you a lot more confidence, particularly when you come back and play in Ireland. You may not score a huge amount of runs out there initially. I think the one difference is, you know, the teams and the players that you're going to be playing against here in Dublin. We play against the same players and the same teams on a regular basis. Whereas you go out there and you really don't know what's going to be thrown at you. So I think from that point of view, it's great to kind of put yourself in a challenging environment and hope to come out the other side of it. And yeah, then I was there again last winter. Unfortunately, I was slightly injured, but decided to stay at home this winter to work on a few technical things.
Are you like, would you go back if the offer came? Would you be, or are you like, I'm captain now, I got to stick?
No, I don't think Cricket Ireland have ever been that strict or rigid. Thankfully, they've supported me when I have decided to go away. But this year was just, I wanted to make a couple of changes with my batting technique, and also work-wise, I wasn't too sure where I was going to be. I've used my working holiday visa, so if I was to go back over to Australia again, I wouldn't be in a position to work. Okay. So that was probably the main driving factor which kept me here.
It's all very interesting though, like just to hear like the differences, like, you know, yeah. Like what did you, like apart from like confidence, did you bring back like styles of play, or like were you more like maybe aggressive at batting or bowling or different things like that?
Unfortunately, both times I've gone out to Australia, I've kind of picked up injuries, so I've only played a handful of games.
Excuses coming in here.
So bad.
It's not having it.
Do you know, they play a lot more 50 over cricket over there. We didn't play back home last season. A lot of the emphasis was on T20 cricket. Obviously, we had our World Cup qualifiers, which were T20 format, but it's a lot more 50 over based out there, so obviously playing the longer format was probably a bit more of a challenge for me, having come from focusing on T20 cricket.
Did it like make you maybe focus on something a bit more like strength, like maybe strength conditioning or kind of longevity, or you know, different things like that, like to go longer in the game?
No, I think like I picked one or two things that I wanted to work out when I was out in the middle, but apart from that, I suppose it's just more confidence in playing in different conditions.
Still really like interesting to hear, even like different styles, like, you know, like as someone who basic cricket knowledge, like I'm like, oh, I didn't realize there was such a like a keen kind of difference, like, you know, obviously I knew the pros were a little bit different to the semi-pros, but like even to hear what you could bring back, like it's cool. And as a coach, like it must be exciting to that you can like infiltrate all this knowledge and like bring it in, like as you said, batting is your first thing, so yeah, like it has to be cool for you.
Yeah, it is cool. It's very handy. I mean, the girls you mentioned going away there, I think when you do go away, you Laura's already said you're playing different conditions against different players, and I think that's hugely valuable. I think something, you know, cricket, it does very well, you know, you go from a summer here to a summer somewhere else in the world and play loads of games. For instance, Una Raymond Hoey's is one of our performance squad has gone, and she said she played 18 T20 games within a 2.5 month period, and you just couldn't do that. You wouldn't do that in a whole summer here, you know, so that's hugely valuable just to get that experience over such a short period of time. And she's coming back in January, you know, she's only spent 3 months there as well. So, you know, another one of our players, Lara Moritz, has gone to Perth, and she's had the opportunity to play in something called the Global Development Squad, which is a sort of amalgamation of all the best players from maybe not the top tier countries, and they get to play against all the franchise teams out in Australia. So she was able to do that, loads of very high quality games into a short period as well. So you know, just there are two examples of you know, the girls going out and getting lots of game time in, loads more experience, and you know, and getting to meet other players and learn a few things from other coaches as well, because I certainly don't know everything, you know, and you know, it's a learning experience for me as well.
Thanks for listening to part one of my interview with Laura Delaney and Ed Joyce, where they're talking about their careers. Next week, they talk about the future of Irish cricket, where they think they can take it, batting, bowling, and everything in between. Cheerio!
The Big Red Bench.
Game on!
Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.